I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gail Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. As addiction to opiates continues unabated, people all over the country are looking for ways to limit the damage, get more people into treatment, and ultimately prevent people from starting down the road to addiction. Several states and cities are looking at the possibility of creating safe or supervised injection sites. That's where drug users can come to shoot up, get clean needles, and get medical attention if they overdose. Law enforcement officials agree not to arrest people who are using this specific site, and drug treatment workers are often available to help get users into treatment or offer them information. Vermont, specifically Chittenden County and the Burlington area, is one place that's considering this idea. In late November, a commission led by Chittenden County State's Attorney Sarah George, that also included medical professionals and criminal justice officials, came out in favor of a supervised injection facility in Burlington. And just this month, a day after the opening of the new legislative session, in fact, the Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony on a proposal for the safe injection facility. Now, no sanctioned facility of this type is currently operating in this country, but about 100 are open in 9 other countries around the world, including Canada. Vancouver has hosted 2 of them, including one called InSight, which was the first supervised injection site in North America when it opened in 2003. Sarah Evans, who formerly managed day-to-day operations at that facility, testified at the hearing in Montpelier.
The total number of deaths at any supervised injection or consumption space anywhere in the world ever is 0. So I think that that alone is a statistic that's worth pausing and reflecting on and kind of reason enough to really seriously consider opening such a site.
Backers of this idea feel like it's a tool that Vermont needs to counter the opioid crisis that it is facing. They say this is a way to prevent overdose deaths, and beyond that, studies show that users are more likely to get into treatment than they would be if they were injecting secretly somewhere else. After the initial recommendation was made last fall, Governor Phil Scott was asked for his thoughts, and he really wasn't sure what to make of the idea.
At first blush, admittedly, I don't understand it myself. I'm not sure I quite understand how that's helping the situation.
Now, Governor Scott is not alone. To many people, the idea that you'd offer up a sanctioned space and staff it with health professionals and even perhaps offer clean, safe supplies, it seems totally counterintuitive to the idea of fighting drug abuse. Today on the show, we're going to look at what the evidence from other supervised injection sites actually shows. And if you have a perspective you'd like to share, call 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post notes on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Chittenden County State's Attorney Sarah George, who led the commission looking into this, joins us for this conversation. It's nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'd like to actually say right from the outset here that we have tried and tried and tried to get someone who's opposed to this idea to come on the program and to offer a counterbalance to Sarah George's support of the idea. And we actually haven't been able to find anybody who was willing to be on this program. Christina Nolan, the new U.S. attorney, put out a statement, an official statement. And she says she thinks that, quote, the proposed government-sanctioned sites would encourage and normalize heroin use, thereby increasing demand for opiates and, by extension, risk of overdose and overdose deaths. Her statement went on to say that she worries a safe injection site might spur new people to use. We asked Ms. Nolan to be on the program to defend her statement and to explain why she thinks that's the case. She declined. Thomas Anderson, the commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, also put out a statement on this issue. His statement says, in part, quote, facilitating the ongoing use of heroin through safe injection facilities sends the wrong message at the wrong time to the wrong people. Commissioner Anderson also declined to be on the program, and several law enforcement officers we reached out to individually either declined or didn't answer our requests. So, Sarah George, we have you, and we are eager to discuss this idea. Can you explain a little bit deeper the concept of a safe injection facility or a supervised injection facility?
Yes. All of that would obviously be up to whoever's opening it, but the main concept for most of them is that individuals who are actively injecting would go into a space. They would bring their own heroin or opioids that they have already previously purchased. They'd be given basically a cubicle where they could use. They'd be given clean needles, spoons, whatever supplies they might need. And they're given a sterile space. And typically there's a mirror in front of the individual and spaces on the side so they can't see to the side of them.
Why is that?
I think for privacy to the people next to them. But a medical personnel would be able to see what they're doing through the mirror from behind so they could tell if they're overdosing or not. They use their... then brought into, you know, as I think most places call it, somewhat of a chill out zone. And once they feel comfortable leaving, they leave.
And you, when you first were introduced to this concept, did you think it was a good idea?
No. I actually had a very kind of visceral reaction, that sort of ick feeling that you get. I had a lot of questions about it. And even when others were trying to answer the questions, I still was just, I really thought it was a terrible idea. I had a lot of the same concerns that are outlined in you know, Commissioner Anderson and U.S. Attorney Nolan's statements, which is why I decided rather than just making my own opinion on it, I would bring in experts on the, in the field that are really in the field. And we would talk about it as an open concept as to whether or not it was something I should support.
Okay, so what convinced you to support it?
Really, it was a matter, it was very quickly a matter of not being able to find anything to support my own theory that this was a bad idea. That's, I really went into it with the idea that this was a bad idea, and I tried really hard to find research and data and facts that supported that, and I couldn't. The research was so overwhelming that, in fact, this saves people's lives, which is in itself enough for me, and that it actually was getting more people into services and somewhat into recovery. But even before you get into the numbers of recovery, it was getting people into a place where they could talk to somebody about services.
Well, let's talk a little bit about why and what's been found in these other safe injection sites around the world. Again, there are none in the United States currently. Several cities are actually looking into the idea, including Burlington. And there is a bill in the Vermont legislature, although it remains to be seen if that goes very far in this session. So when it comes to saving lives, we heard Sarah Evans, who used to run day-to-day operations at one of the sites in Canada, say no one has ever died in a safe injection site anywhere in the world ever. Is that because people who overdose, there is supervision, and those supervisors and staff members have Narcan or overdose reversal drugs? That's the reason for no overdose deaths?
That's correct.
And when you say people are more likely to get into treatment, to access treatment or access some kind of conversation, why?
Why are they more likely to? I think that my theory on that is that the people that would really be most benefited from a safe consumption site are the individuals who are currently using in really unsafe and unlikely places, public restrooms, parks, their cars, by themselves. And that population, we're not having contact with them. You know, from my perspective, if they're not picking up criminal charges, then I'm not having contact with them. And if police aren't responding to their overdoses, they're not having contact with them. If they're not using clean needles and already going to the syringe exchange, then we're not having contact with them. Or on the other hand, if they're actually a upper class individual who's too ashamed to go and talk to their primary care physician about it, we're not having contact with them. And so safe consumption sites allow people to come into contact with medical personnel where they aren't otherwise having that contact, and therefore hopefully getting into services where they aren't already.
One of the issues, though, I believe it was Commissioner Anderson of the Department of Public Safety, one of the things that he raised was that sometimes interactions with law enforcement officers where they are actually arresting somebody or interacting with a user who's been using illicitly, that that is often an access point for services and getting into recovery as well. And a safe injection site would remove that possibility of law enforcement officers to interact with an individual at that moment. Is that a valid point?
I mean, that's assuming that this is something that law enforcement should be dealing with. And, you know, if we really want to treat this like the public health crisis that it is, law enforcement shouldn't have to be that point of contact. We shouldn't be using, for every overdose call, there's two police officers that respond. And the police don't always have the resources or the names of service providers that an individual would need. So not only are we using a ton of police already currently, I'll speak for Burlington because they were on the commission, we're already using so many resources for law enforcement just to respond to opiate overdoses. And only a handful of times do they want the help at that moment. And even if they do, cops don't always know who they need to call to get them that. And that's not on them. That's just – that's the system. And so to say that that's a better contact, I disagree. I think we should be using less law enforcement resources to deal with this and more medical.
As I said, we reached out to several law enforcement officers, including Commissioner Anderson, including the Burlington Police Chief, who didn't get back to us, and others. We did get a statement from Leanne Toomey, who's the chief of the UVM Police Department, and she emailed her thoughts but really wanted to clarify that they don't represent an official position of UVM or of her department. And she says, safe injection facilities are not a solution to the opioid crisis. If, as the legislation is written, each community would be empowered to decide to participate, it would be an enhancement to public safety in an immediate harm-reducing way. It would reduce danger to the general public by keeping people who are using drugs off the road and not behind the wheel of a vehicle, and it would reduce the number of used needles that the public is exposed to. It would mitigate risks to first responders who now respond emergently to overdose calls in uncontrolled environments in a rapid response. Reducing the number of rapid response calls would benefit community and first responder safety. Finally, people who are addicted, lives may be spared, and there will be trained personnel who will have far better opportunity to suggest and connect those people to treatment. So that's the personal thoughts of the UVM police chief, Leanne Toomey. But Sarah George, that's the only law enforcement officer in Vermont that I've seen who's come out publicly in favor of this. Why are so many law enforcement officers opposed to it, despite what you've seen in terms of statistics showing no overdose deaths in these facilities and, in fact, more access to treatment and more utilization of treatment?
Well, I can say that, you know, I haven't spoke to law enforcement officers outside of Chittenden County about this. You know, Chittenden County is my jurisdiction, and those are the kind of constituents that I'm concerned about. So they're the ones that I've spoke to about it. I think that many law enforcement officers, just based on how they're trained, had the same reaction I did and have the same reaction that I did when they first hear it. Most of the law enforcement officers that I've actually sat down and spoke with and explained it or shared my report with, they sing a different tune by the time you're done with the conversation. You know, they may still not be gung-ho and think this is a great idea, but they at least understand it, which is why I think all of this conversation is so great, because most people have that initial reaction. But when faced with the facts, and frankly, you know, law enforcement officers are one of my primary concerns. And part of the reason I support it is because of what we just talked about before. I think too many of them are being put in a medical position to deal with a public health crisis when they shouldn't have to. We shouldn't be using them as resources for an issue that is a public health issue.
We got a note from former State Senator Peter Galbraith, who says, in the early years of the HIV/AIDS epidemic, that we were much too slow to adopt harm reduction measures. This proposal has the potential to save lives and should be thoroughly considered as soon as possible. Let's go to Craig, who's calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Craig. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to take the opportunity, first of all, to thank Sarah George for her bravery on this issue. It's a social issue. And I also wanted to say that I think what you guys just touched on is a very important issue, that if we don't try alternatives to what we've been trying, we face an uphill battle that hasn't worked and that has cost the taxpayers of the state millions and millions of dollars. And there is a large population in the state that puts their socks on every day, that goes to work, and that uses heroin. The state and the leadership of the state has to face this reality, that we have people who are functioning adults, taxpayers, and contribute to the community who need help, and that we should make contact with. It's a very serious issue, and I just want to commend the district attorney for her her avid pursuit in fixing a problem that faces many generations of Vermonters if we don't do something about it.
Craig, thanks very much. And yeah, we're speaking with Sarah George, who's the Chittenden County State's Attorney. She led a commission that looked at an idea to have a safe injection site in Vermont and came away with advocacy for it, saying she supports it. The commission report supports it, although some members of the commission are more hesitant and perhaps less outwardly supportive of the idea. Before we get into some more of the sort of philosophical issue here and how it works in other places, you do have some thoughts and looked at where it might be in Vermont. So this would be in Burlington, and it would be an already existing facility most likely. So can you address where it would likely be and how much it would cost?
Yeah. So again, I only looked at Chittenden County. You know, I don't know how other jurisdictions would deal with it if they wanted to do one. But my sense is that it would make the most sense to have it at Safe Recovery. They are a syringe exchange program in Burlington. They have an absolutely incredible staff. They're understaffed. There's no question about that. But the people that are there are the real deal. They are on the ground in the middle of this, and they've already got a syringe exchange program going on there. So I think that it would be a question of getting a medical personnel. It doesn't have to be a medical personnel. It really just needs to be somebody who's trained in this. But I think that it would make the most sense to have a medical personnel, even a registered nurse or an LPN, that was present at all times, that they're open. And the actual construction of these kind of cubicles. But, you know, other than that, it really doesn't require a lot more. These aren't huge, fancy facilities. I would say that, you know, Vancouver was an very expensive project. I think it was $2 to $3 million a year to run it.
But it's a very large facility.
It's huge. I think it's 4 floors. It also has a detox facility in it. It has transitional housing. They have an RN there who actually does physicals, pap smears for women that come in, pregnancy tests, STD tests, HIV tests. So theirs is like a hospital. It's basically a mini hospital, which obviously we wouldn't need to do right now because we have so much of that already in place. But so the cost really depends on which facility you use and what you want to make of it. It's, you know, you could do a lot with a facility, or you could really do a pretty minimal amount.
Brandon Del Pozo, the chief of police in Burlington, who has also served on the commission, says that he's unlikely to support the idea or the actual construction of a safe injection facility in Burlington unless Vermont's drug treatment backlog was really dealt with first. So if you have people who can't get into treatment and you have this safe injection facility and even access to people who can help them get into treatment, but that actual treatment is not available, that seems like putting these services in place without actually giving people who are using the possibility of getting treatment.
Yeah, the other side to that, though, is that in the meantime, they're using safely. And
I mean, if they have a safe injection facility.
Sorry, yeah. So let's say that you did have a safe injection facility that opened, but it was still a wait list to get into treatment. In the meantime, those individuals are using in a supervised area versus their cars, parks, public restrooms, home by themselves until they could get into treatment. I mean, I think that the goal would be, the best case scenario would be to actually have a doctor available through this facility that would at least prescribe MAT in the meantime until somebody could get into long-term residential treatment if that's what they needed.
And MAT is medical assisted therapy and treatment.
Yeah.
We're talking about this idea of a safe injection site for drug users in Chittenden County. We're talking with Sarah George, who's the Chittenden County State's Attorney. We did try to get some of the state officials who have come out in opposition to the safe injection site. They did decline to be on the program today. We read a comment earlier that we attributed to former State Senator Peter Galbraith in favor of consideration for this idea, but we want to make a correction. It's actually Peter Galbraith, former state epidemiologist, who made that comment. Again, you can share yours at vpr.net. And let's go to Steve, who's calling in from Richmond. Hi, Steve. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to comment and say that I definitely understand the need to do something about this very serious issue. I'm 35 years old, and I've lost seven friends over from my high school days that have all died from heroin overdoses. And so I definitely understand the need. But I don't feel like anyone's fully thought this through with bringing in your own drugs from the street. What about fentanyl or even just a bad batch of heroin? Are you going to test the drugs before people use them? How are we going to control that sort of wild card aspect of doing these dangerous drugs?
Yeah,
that are
Steve,
right from the street.
Thanks very much for your comment, Sarah George. How does that work? Are drugs tested? Fentanyl is obviously one of the big issues and serious concerns in overdoses. Leads to a lot of overdoses and deaths. Some users are actually trying to get their hands on fentanyl, and that is what they want because of that much stronger hit. But what about Steve's question of testing the drugs when they come into the facility?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that question. Some of the facilities do test the drugs when you come in for fentanyl or carfentanil, which is even worse than fentanyl. And that's something that each facility could decide on their own. Testing it can be very dangerous. Actually handling it can be very dangerous. So there's an added liability to do that. And frankly, you know, if you were to test it, if you had someone that had substance use disorder that came in and had just bought that heroin and it tested positive for fentanyl, the chances of them saying, okay, well, I'm not going to use it now is unlikely. They've purchased it, and that's what they're planning to use that day. And most individuals who are suffering from this disease know that it is a good chance there's fentanyl in it. So, frankly, it actually makes more sense for the safe consumption sites because if they overdose on that drug after they use it, they'll be with somebody that can Narcan them or otherwise help them when, you know, I use benefit very, very lightly, but the benefit of fentanyl is the overdoses occur far faster. And so them being in the facility when that happens is actually a much better place for them to be than at home by themselves or in another space.
I think Jeff, who's on the line with us from Colchester, might have a question that dovetails nicely with that thought, Sarah George. Jeff, you're on the line now. Go right ahead. Oh, we lost Jeff, but it looks like what Jeff wanted to ask is, are users allowed to leave the facility while they're still high? So that question of catching people when they overdose, are they supposed to stay in the safe injection site and for how long?
Yeah, so there's, you know, again, each facility is different. That is something that you would decide when you're opening one. My suggestion, and based on others, have been to, most of them have this what's called a chill out zone where the individual would go after until they're no longer, you know, I think the term is actively high. So the idea would be that they would at least have come off from that before they leave the facility. But you know, whether you require that or not is each facility's decision. We would, you know, from my perspective, we would certainly make that a requirement due to the possibility of somebody driving after, you know, but it's also important to remember that although that would be ideal, those individuals are already using and often in their cars or in other unsafe places. So there's only so much you can do to make sure that, and again, if somebody's using a safe consumption site, they want to be responsible and they want to be safe. So the hope is that they wouldn't put their community in that at that risk afterwards, but it is all part of the setting up of it and what you want to mandate.
And let's go to Rick, who's calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Rick. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to make a point that we should be talking very broadly about ways to reduce the total state costs in dealing with addiction and reducing the addiction in any way that accomplishes that goal. Other countries, like Portugal, have decriminalized all drugs, taken it away from policing, and put all the resources into healthcare. And it's still early, but the early evidence is drug use is on down, and the state or the country is saving money. Now, I'm not suggesting we should do that, but I'm suggesting it's really important to take a broader view of what public policy ought to be trying to accomplish. And if we can save money and look at things differently, we should at least be discussing this, and I commend Sarah for doing this.
Rick, thanks very much for
your call. Rick.
Appreciate that. Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo is on the line with us now, calling in, listening to this show. Chief Del Pozo, thanks for calling in. Nice to have you on.
Yeah, hi, Jane. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for taking my call.
I'd
like to commend Sarah. I think she's doing something very, very brave for a prosecutor, which is to look at ways other than prosecution to save lives and have an effect on a community problem, especially a health problem. I just wanted to clarify some of the things that we were talking about as regards to, you know, Burlington's thoughts on this matter. We studied the Vancouver model of safe injection very closely. Vancouver has about 640,000 people in the city, and Vermont has about 620,000. So you can't make perfect comparisons, but it is at least comparing one type of apple to another. The thing that's a sticking point for me again and again is that the safe injection site has done really nothing to stop the increase in overdose deaths in Vancouver, not only in absolute terms, just the number going up within the city, but the number in the city has been going up at the same pace or greater than surrounding areas in Canada where they don't have safe injection. And one of the things that keeps on coming back to me is the concern that the injection site only captures a tiny, tiny percent of overall opioid use in a community. In fact, Vancouver's own data shows that the average, on average, it's an arithmetic mean, so it might not be the median or the mode, but a person registered to use Vancouver's safe injection site uses it on average once every 14 days. And then the Vancouver population of users are not all registered to use the site. If Burlington was an analog, it would be less than half. So, like, just back of the envelope shows that a safe injection site in the Burlington metro area would only capture about 3% of the overall opioid consumption. And in our community, that might amount to saving one life a year. So that's worth it. But there are other ways to spend money to save lives. Safe injection sites aren't the only way to save money. The only way to spend money to save lives. We need treatment in jail for addicts in the state. We need better wraparound services. We need sober housing for people coming out of jail or people coming out of treatment. And so I just think it's a very compassionate thing to establish a safe injection site, and it does send a message that we want to destigmatize it. I worry that they just don't, in practice, capture enough risk to justify the cost versus other things the government can do to help.
So it sounds like, Chief Del Pozo, that the cost is not particularly high. And so, you know, in your thinking and your calculations in thinking of this in relation to other treatment, it does sound like what you really want is much more investment in treatment and prevention. So why not advocate for that investment in treatment and prevention and a safe injection site, even if it only saves one life or saves that small percentage of the population who are users? Why do you say, let's not do that, let's focus on the other things?
Well, because I think that there are other things that are less controversial and just as effective. I think we're not asking people to you know, there are worries about normalizing use, and countless Vermonters use opioids, so it's not like we can turn a blind eye to that, but we don't, there is a concern about normalizing. There is a concern about pitting the state's attorney against the federal prosecutor. We had a representative from Burlington say that for about $250,000 a year, we could extend buprenorphine or Vivitrol treatment to every person in jail who's eligible for it under the present regulations. So I'm not saying the sky did not fall in Vancouver, and the sky did not fall in countries where safe injection sites became more common. So, you know, I'm not going to say that the sky is going to fall. I don't think it will. I just think it offers a display of compassion towards users. It destigmatizes it. But I think it also puts people at odds with other people, all of whom believe in the seriousness of the problem. And I have to take a third, fourth, fifth look at the numbers, but I can't see that being justified by something that captures at most 3% of the risk.
That's at Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo. Chief Del Pozo, thanks very much for calling in and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Sarah.
Talking with Sarah George, who's the Chittenden County State's Attorney, who is in support of this idea of a safe injection site. So what do you think about the Chief's criticisms or concerns or ideas for diverting money to other means first?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to the chief about this at length. I'm certainly not surprised by anything that he just said. And I wouldn't even say that it's not valid. It's just, from my perspective, Vancouver site averages about 700 people a day. And every one of those 700 people every day isn't dying. Maybe they do die eventually when they're not using the site. But every single day, 700 people at least are choosing to use that site and are not dying. And, the overdoses are going up, but that has been largely attributed to the fentanyl and carfentanil that is now in the drugs. I mean, every batch that's coming into any country or city or state is poisoned, beyond the just general poisoning that heroin is. So of course they're going to be going up because the drug is changing. And, as the chief said, let's say the absolute least amount of lives that it saves is one. I'm okay with that. And I bet that every family that has lost someone to an overdose where maybe if they'd gotten to them sooner would have survived would probably agree with me on that. But I think that it would be more than that. And frankly, I believe that every person who comes in every day and uses and doesn't die, that's a life saved, because who knows if that could have – every overdose that occurs at a site that is reversed, that is a life saved. And, frankly, that's enough for me. So I think to your point, Jane, yeah, this isn't the answer. And I have never stood anywhere and said this is the answer to the opioid crisis. There is so much more to it, and I understand that. And all of the things that the Chief Del Pozo mentioned are other ways to deal with this. But that does not mean that this one should not be seriously considered. I've heard that the average is about 12% of lives saved. And, for Vermont, I think this year we don't have final numbers, but it's likely – around 135 Vermonters that died this year of opioid overdose.
This year being 2017?
Sorry, yes, 2017. 9% – I'm terrible at math, but that's about 12 people. And again, every one of those families, I'm sure, would agree that it would be worth it.
So let me ask you a couple of details as we think about this proposal, because this proposal is out there. There is legislation that was proposed last year. There has been a hearing on this and testimony taken already, but there's some question about if it's likely to move forward at all legislatively. And I believe you have said that you wouldn't try to move forward on this idea of a safe injection site in Burlington without some sort of legislation that basically says the state supports this and the state will make sure that there's no prosecution of people who are working at the site, for example. Is that true?
I wouldn't say that I wouldn't do it, but I would not do it without the support in Vermont anyway, or I'm sorry, in Chittenden County. I would not do it without the support of the mayor and Chief Del Pozo. I am not, if it was in Burlington, I would not put, they are my coworkers and I have a lot of respect for them, and I don't want to put them in a position, like the chief was saying, to be at odds with something that I'm doing. And I frankly wouldn't want to put law enforcement in that position. So, I've been clear that I wouldn't put them in that position unless we were all on the same page about it.
So law enforcement would have to agree as well. But regardless, wouldn't anybody who works at the site and any law enforcement officers who are not actually who see something that they ordinarily would perhaps arrest someone for, aren't they in violation of federal law if this were to go forward?
That's correct, yeah, which would put them in a really uncomfortable position, and that's why I wouldn't do it. I would not do that without there being a really strong advocacy amongst the people involved.
Given all that, what do you think the likelihood is of this actually happening in Chittenden County, either now or in the near future?
Well, my understanding, I'm very new to all of this kind of political process, but my understanding is that the Senate Judiciary Committee has passed on it for this year. So in terms of the legislative response, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen. So really the next step would be me meeting with Chief Del Pozo and the mayor and deciding whether or not this is something we want to try to do on our own. But, I mean, you heard the chief's position. So my guess is that isn't going to happen right now, but it's certainly not something I'm going to give up on either.
I want to raise one other point that Christina Nolan, the U.S. attorney, brought up, where she's concerned that this may encourage individuals to use opiates for the first time. You know, as we leave this conversation and thinking about people still who are starting to use opiates, even given all the education, even given all of the concern that's out there in Vermont, do you see this as perhaps sending the wrong signal to people?
Absolutely not. I mean, I have the complete opposite opinion, that this actually sends a message to people that their substance use disorder is okay, and that we want to help them. It destigmatizes it, like Chief was saying. It encourages people, if anything, to be more safe and to come to a facility where there's help and that nobody's going to judge you, and that if you decide that you're ready to get into recovery, there's people that are there that are going to make it happen.
That's Sarah George. She's Chittenden County State's attorney, and she led the commission looking at the idea of a safe injection site in Burlington. We have links to more information about the commission she led at vpr.net. You can click on Vermont Edition. Sarah George, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Jane.